Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by Owls fans, presented by FAUOwlsNest.com. Oh man, we're coming at y'all as a parliament of sad owls, no doubt, after that whooping we got from the Air Force Falcons, 31-7. I have not really been disappointed in a loss like that in a long time. Hey, we got our other Tampa Owl here, Kirk, and looky, looky, we got a Denver Owl, Cyrus Smith, former FUOwlsNest.com contributor. Cyrus, say what's up. How you doing?
What's going on, Jack? Hello, Kirk. It's great to be back. My first writing home, one of my very first, so it's always a pleasure to be with the family here at Owl's Nest. Have a special place in my heart for this place, just like I do with FAU, but of course, just like Jack said, coming with the somber tone, sad Parliament of Owls, as it was a tough drive back from Colorado Springs to Denver after the performance by our Owls last weekend.
Yeah, so let's just dive right into it. We're going to have to talk about it. You saw firsthand a slaughter, if you will. There's no nice way to paint it. What do you think was the glaring weakness that prevented an FAU victory last Saturday?
Well, to be honest, at the start of the game, I noticed immediately that the energy was not there. I know entering the game, a lot of folks were worried about the potential long flight from Fort Lauderdale all the way to Colorado Springs. And I think although the late start time could have contributed to the slowness of the Owls, it was Air Force is a pretty big program, relatively speaking, at the G5 level, where you definitely have to show up. And the fact that it's an academy school to begin with, you know where you're getting immediately as far as energy and commitment from the other side. And so I was really concerned at how lethargic that they look after the first drive. And then once we were immediately down 14-0 with the long punt, I knew that the energy was not there. And that was really, in my opinion, the biggest drop off from the prior 3 weeks to this one. In Fordham, they really looked like they were playing with a ton of confidence, and they really immediately kind of took that game head on and kind of really asserted their dominance. But for some reason with this game, whether it was the altitude, the long flight, or the late start, if you want to go with body clock, it would be what kickoff time was around 6:15. So it'd be around 8:15 Eastern time, which isn't really, a huge difference as far as primetime games that we would like to see our Owls in period, to begin with. But they just really looked lethargic. And I knew right from the get-go that it wasn't going to be good. And the only really time I saw a sense of energy was after the missed kick going into halftime and once they came back. And that was kind of really what I was hoping to see more from Taggart as far as getting the sideline a bit more juice and enthusiasm, but there was really no juice on the sideline right from the start of the game.
Cyrus, we can kind of take us through, like, what was the experience, just the atmosphere at playing at a service academy stadium? Was it any different than a normal college football feel? Kind of anything that stood out differently to you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think the pageantry was really authentic to the academy experience. And you kind of always wonder as far as, at least for me as a rabid college football fan, as we all sure are and listeners to the pod right now, how do academies really recruit? What is their draw? How do they get kids? And immediately the game day experience was awesome. The tailgate scene was great. There was a big class reunion for those coming in, and you kind of get a bigger sense of appreciation of not only just the military aspect of, these are individuals, women and men who protect the country, but they also have a bondship with just being part of the Air Force Academy itself. And so there was, I think, 5 class reunions going on at the time before the game. So the crowd was really great. You had a bunch of alums coming in for the weekend, and their student section was really amped. They were very annoying, but they were super amped and into the game. They had a lot of chants. They had a lot of pregame rituals, and then they also had a lot of in-game chants during the game that was throwing off our guys on the sideline as far as single-handedly picking someone out and chanting their name, or the few individuals who were on the exercise bike. They would definitely give that person a hard time. And the structure of the stadium, the location is very it's like a remote outpost on the academy base. And so it's really right next to the mountain. So it created a great outlook skyline view from the stadium. And so it was a really, really pretty setting. I can definitely see the appeal now for why someone who may have opportunities to go elsewhere as far as not take that, or I should say want to, should I put it, sign up for the academy and knowing that they're going to have to enlist right after, which can be a scary thing, you know, for individuals who are not really sure and that committed to the country. But once you go there and that experience, you immediately feel that sense of bond and family. And so I thought the pregame experience was really great. They had a bunch of owls for anyone from back in the day. I'm class of 2015, but
they're back in the day.
Back in the day. Right? Sounds so old, but you know, for those who are familiar with FAU's pregame tradition, where we used to carry an actual owl on the sideline, Air Force, they do the same thing. They have about like 15 falcons that they carry throughout the game with them. And so the bird handler, they would walk throughout the stadium and you could actually have a really good close contact with the falcon, and they varied in size and they were all different colors, white, brown. And it was really cool. I hadn't been that close up to a falcon since when I used to cover the games for Owl's Nest and Owl TV. And see our own owl back when we used to do that tradition before the game at the start. So that gave me a lot of flashbacks,
What happened to that tradition, man? We should have brought that back. I know we wanted to have the whole owl come down like what they do at Auburn with the eagle and, you know, come to midfield. That never really materialized. But, you know, speaking of the FAU experience, how did the FAU away crowd look? And a follow-up question real quick, Cyrus. We've been talking about conference realignment a lot on this podcast, just like the rest of college football. I feel like the past month and a half or so, Air Force might be moving up to the American. They seem to be like one of our competitors when it comes to conference realignment. So after experiencing a game there in Colorado Springs, what do you think their chances are?
Yeah, I actually had wondered that myself and got a chance to speak with a few fans of the Air Force about the latest conference realignment news. And like you said, the AAC is looking to expand given their recent departures. And they weren't really honestly all that thrilled about potentially having to travel to, you know, East Carolina or the Carolinas, Appalachian area, or whether that be South Florida. And it wasn't really anything against FAU or the scoreboard or anything like that. They just really like their regional opponents. They cited how, you know, they have a lot of friends and connections with other academies and with Navy. And they were saying pretty much how their Navy pals they don't really enjoy the experience of having to travel to all of those teams and them being not necessarily remote outposts, because the AAC is a lot more geographic friendly, but knowing what it's done to Navy and kind of how that program has fallen off over the years. And then there's also been some trepidation with Army get dating back to their poor experience with Conference USA, where they were really one of the worst teams in the country, and then had to finally, once they left Conference USA, they got back. Took them a while, but they ended up getting back on their footing. And now they're, you know, a G5 powerhouse or independent powerhouse that they are now, winning around 9-10 games annually. And so with Air Force, they've always had some kinship with Colorado State University, which is about 2 hours away from Colorado Springs, north up in Fort Collins. And they do see that you know, it's funny. They were always saying how Colorado State always sponsors or aspires to be CU, which is the big state school in Colorado, Boulder, out in the Pac-12. And so they're not really surprised that Colorado State is looking to broaden their horizons, so to speak. But they were a little disappointed to hear that Air Force is probably looking to jump with Colorado State and do the same. Of course, they say all that with the intention of hoping that Boise State would stay. They like the regional focus that the Mountain West Conference has, and they like those regional ties with Wyoming, which is, again, not that far away from the state of Colorado as well. And they don't want to lose those programs in that sort of history. And so they were kind of lukewarm on the idea. They did say that it would do good for the branding of Air Force, not that they don't already recruit nationally, given that they're an academy, but they didn't really see it as a big gain for them to be in the same conference, I guess, as say like a USF or an FAU. And so they're not really a huge fan. They would rather stay in the Mountain West Conference and continue to do their thing. But should it be that they switch conferences, they said they'll, you know, go along for the ride, but that they'll be a little bit disappointed in the administration's decision.
Yeah, that's a good point, because you kind of see some FAU fans say the same thing about maybe having left the Sun Belt originally, because you would have been able to go to Georgia Southern and App State and so on and so forth. That's going to open up a can of worms that I don't want to open up right now. But it was pretty cool to see a good amount of FAU fans there as well, though, right?
Oh, yeah, that was awesome, actually. Being out here in Denver, I can definitely say the biggest thing that I miss about Florida is having my annual weekend trips or biweekly trips to Boca and getting to see our Owls. And so to be around fellow alums and fans of the program again was pretty awesome. I got a chance to meet with or talk with a few fans of the game. And although we were all disappointed, it was just great to be around FAU family, There was at least, I would say, around 75 to 100 people in our student section from what I could see, or student section in our visitor section from what I could see. And all of us were really animated and into the game. As you guys know, South Florida fans could be a bit rowdy, whether that's the Dolphins or the Panthers, Canes, or of course, FAU, not FIU, because we know that they don't have that many fans. But it was really awesome to see how animated it is. And it shows, honestly, the expectations of how the program has kind of changed over the past few years. You know, I would say if this was anything under the Pelini era or Partridge, I don't think there would be many FAU fans. But given the success that Kiffin had kind of brought to the program, FAU is definitely not some sort of who are they type of school. When I was speaking with Air Force, they knew FAU very, very well. They knew about Lane Kiffin and his time there and the beach and all of that. And I think that speaks to the branding and how well the school has kind of gotten their name out there in the past 5-6 years. I think if it was probably a decade before, they probably would have figured that we were some sort of FCS school, but they were really well informed on who FAU was. And I think that was really cool. The fact that there was a pretty solid turnout was pretty awesome. But for those who have branched out of the state, there's Floridians everywhere. You would run into someone from Florida. And so the people who were able to make out the trip, it was really great to see fellow FAU fans and alums root on our Owls.
Yeah, can confirm here in Asheville, the amount of Floridians that are up here is insane. It's like New Yorkers back in Florida. So no doubt. And Cyrus, I mean, dude, I love the little jab at FIU. It's Shula Bowl week. You had to put that in there. I'm so proud of you, man. Good job. Cyrus, where can FU Owl fans, real quick, if you're not following him, I don't know what you're doing, because he's much better at this than I am. And he's such a cool guy. Awesome hip hop takes. We've been talking about that, I feel like, for almost a decade now. Where can Owl fans find you, Cyrus?
You can find me on Twitter at CoolCyWrites. That's Cool Cy Writes, Cool COOL, and then Cy, C-Y, and then Writes, W-R-I-T-E-S. And occasionally you'll find me on Underdog Dynasty. I'm no longer the managing editor there like I was for the past 5 or 6 years, and I miss that so much very dearly, but I still am an editor there. So occasionally you'll see me fire off some hot takes on Conference USA or any other musings around the college football landscape.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man. Great to see you. We'll hope to talk to you again sometime soon. All right.
Of course. Thanks for having me, man. Go Owls.
All right. So thanks again from Cyrus Smith for joining us to talk about Air Force. But it's time to move on to the conversation that we all especially want. It's finally here. Rivalry week. Shula Bowl 20 in paradise. Cannot wait for this one. And we have another former FAU Owls Nest contributor, Shane Marinelli, on the show with us to discuss the Kitty Cats from that school down south. Shane, how you doing, brother? And how do you think we're going to bounce back after our loss to Air Force last week?
I didn't overreact. I wasn't even upset watching the Air Force game. It was something that I thought, you know, offensively we could make enough plays. You guys have probably already talked about the game ad nauseum, but, you know, like, it's not like they were bad. It's just kind of the wheels just kind of came off, and it's, you know what I mean? Again, like, and even the defense kind of adjusted in the second half, you know, the third down stats say that outside of the one long run, they weren't getting gashed. There's some, you want to talk recruiting. There is some things that we can't do about. Our defensive line is where they're kind of big, they're young, and where they're older, they're way too small. So I'm letting you know that'll change next year. But yeah, other than that, I mean, but it'll be fine for Conference USA play. It's just, it's not a matchup we're designed for. Our football team isn't designed to beat that team.
Yeah, FIU looks like to be a complete dumpster fire. I know, I mean, Kirk and I were talking about it. Shane, I'm sure you saw their collapse against Central Michigan. Is there anything you think that we should be worried about when it comes to the Kitty Cats?
Yeah, I mean, so we're, you know, what's kind of weird is we haven't seen FAU's offense play an FBS opponent that really runs a traditional offense. Florida a little bit, but I mean, if you watch Florida this year, heck, they're the way they're running the ball, it almost feels like triple option, right? Like, so we haven't tried, you know, one of these kind of even balanced teams yet. So I'm kind of curious to see it. I will say this, FIU is much better than last year. They should have won those two games. You know, they do have good athletes. And one thing is their quarterback kind of likes to chuck it up and their receivers are playing pretty well. And when you play a game where you have a team that does that, it's kind of like playing a team that likes to shoot the three. They can always get hot. So can Borgenschlager go out there and just get hot and hit some 50-50 balls that kind of break our backs on some third downs and make it a game? Absolutely.
That's kind of my biggest concern is, you know, just seeing how the offense bounces back. Because going, looking at last weekend's Air Force, is the defense, you know, is kind of what I expected. They didn't, you know, kind of what Shane said, they kind of found their way towards the second half and settled down where they held Air Force up a little bit. You know, just, you obviously want to see a bounce back performance from Nicosi. I mean, he completed a third of his passes. He seemed to be trying to do a little too much, just very inaccurate with the football in general. You know, you'd like to see us get off to a faster start. I mean, I think that's what kind of killed us, you know, to start that game is, you know, it's started to become a thing really this year is these slow starts. You know, we start off the game with a couple three and outs. It'd be nice to jump on FIU early. So that way you don't really give them any confidence to saying they can compete and, you know, stay within the game. You know, I feel like the past, you know, really since we've had this win streak against FIU, we've jumped out them early every game, have kind of put that game out of reach and, you know, before even the early the second half. So I think to kind of start that where, you know, those guys are thinking, here we go again, you know, FIU's gonna, is just the better team, to get that and get in their head early is kind of think really the key.
I will say this, what does concern me is they are desperate. Like, you have a coaching staff, I said they're coaching for their job. I mean, I think the nail is pretty much already like in the coffin there, but you know, maybe there's like one more hammer, like this one, like a bad loss here might cause a press conference on Monday. Okay. So you have one of those situations, and whenever you have one of those situations, pun intended, you have a team clawing. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I expect everything in this game, but it's also Butch Davis and he's probably thinking, you know, old man, like I'm going to go out there and we're going to run our offense. But like, if I was in his shoes, I wouldn't fourth and 10 on my own one. We're going for it. You know, like we're kicking on sides. We're double flea flickers. The Dames brothers are playing receiver. Devontae Price is linebacker. Like that's how I'm playing this game if I'm FIU.
Yeah. It almost makes me wish that they didn't have, you know, that overtime loss to Texas State and that massive choke last week against the Chippewas, because they are going to be desperate, coaching staff included, probably more so. So I don't want to say I'm worried, but like Kirk said, and like we said last week, we've been getting off to slow starts way too many times. We knew that would kill us against Air Force, and voila, it did. So I don't want to see us give FIU any sort of hope. We need to have a statement, and it needs to happen. If it happens against our rival, perfect. Great. So that being said, let's break it down with some score predictions. Shane, do you have anything saucy for us on that front?
Yeah, 38-17.
Okay. Covering the spread, important. Kirk?
I still have too much bad taste in my mouth from the offense last week. I think FAU's going to win, but I think it's going to, you know, kind of what Shane said. It's, you know, they're fighting for their job. I think we're going to see everything they have. I think we finally might see a close Shula Bowl. Hopefully we don't, but I'm thinking like 27-20 FAU.
Wow, we've always wanted a close Shula Bowl, but I got to tell you, if it comes this year, we have some issues.
Don't panic if it does happen. That's my say. Like, okay, a rivalry game got close. If you come out with a win, just take it. I know, like, this week has just opened my eyes with some FAU fans. Like, we're like Miami fans without the 20 years of history, where it's like we lost a tough game on the road, and it's one that I've been calling for 2 years.
Shane, do we have swag though?
I don't know, man. I you know what? Like, again, it's still FAU. The goals are still out in front of them. Win your games in front of you, no matter how they look, and the program will be fine.
Yeah, FIU is going to be mad as hell when they play us. I mean, especially when you consider the series record against them. But I think we're going to be mad as hell too. Coach Taggart said it himself right after the game at Air Force that performance was unacceptable and he hopes to never see it again. And he's going to do his best to make sure the team never plays that way again. I'm going to go 45-20. I think we just put our foot on their throat and don't let up. And God, I hope so. Because we're going to need that statement flat out. And if I think we are going to prevent the other team putting up 14 points in the first quarter, like what happened against Air Force, forcing us to change our entire game plan like we did. I think that FIU's offense is that good. Yeah, Price is solid, but whoop-de-doo. At least we know he's going to get the ball. It's not like Air Force where it might be five guys getting the ball. So, all right, there you go. Big time episode today. Cyrus Smith, thank you so much for coming on. Shane, always good to see you. So for Kirk and myself, we're signing off this week. We cannot wait to talk to you guys next week after another Shula Bowl victory. It's going to happen. If it doesn't happen, we have issues. So thanks so much for coming on, guys. Thanks so much for joining us, and go Owls.